today. I had a chat. I have a regular chat with a friend of mine in New Zealand. He's a tetraplegic and a musician. So he invents his own music instruments that he can play with his limited motion. And he can send me his instrument over MIDI to where I am across the ocean, and we can play together, and we can have an engagement. It's not possible for him to come to see me in Europe. It would be so expensive and, a lot of work. So, thank God there's the internet for him. He gets to participate. He has remote concerts. He still plays with his friends. It's really special.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Rebecca Wilson.
When it comes to music, how is latency shifting the conversation with Source Connect, and anything like that kind of tech?
So musical language is based on a different type of perception a different type of expectation. So if you think about music, the majority of musics that we have in our world is like beat based, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you're anticipating that when I go 1, 2, 3, 4, then that 1, 2, 3, 4 is going to come, right? But if you add a little bit of latency onto that, music's like 1, 2, 3. It's very easy to get out and be like, oh, I'm not really comfortable and I don't know where someone is. And latency is not very friendly. Music's not very friendly to that latency. Traditional music, the majority of like most music, like the Beatles or Mozart, top 40 pop, I've been doing research on this topic. It's great you ask. She went back to university 20 years later after I graduated and did my master's, thinking, wow, how can I use Source Connect as a musician?
Sure.
Right. So I'd been working with Source Connect, like just doing business. And then after 10 years, it just occurred to me like, oh, I'm a composer. I should go back and write music. Right. And then I'm like, well, as artists, you also always look at what's around you and you want to interpret your world. And my world at that time in 2015, when I went back to school, was very much the internet and, audio over the internet. So it made sense that I'd be like, how could I use this as a musician? I found out that there was a fairly active world of musicians using internet technology. There's various types of technology that exist that you can play music over. Source Connect's just one of them. And sort of dived into this and found out that there are certain types of music that work very well with latency, and you just have to sort of shift your perception, how you're playing with each other. And so I've been doing some work with musicians. Probably by the time this podcast's out, there'll be another concert that I've recorded. People will be able to see in our YouTube channel, Source Elements, working with a group of musicians in different parts of the world and, working with them in a workshop setting about what types of music work when you cannot anticipate. Like, because our brain is an anticipation machine more than anything. The brain evolved to say, hey, I've got this really high energy usage organ. It's like uses like 90% of our body's energy. And so the brain's like, how can I be more efficient? Oh, I know. I will store a model of what I think the world is so I don't have to convert all my senses all the time. And I'll use that every time I need some input or output. And so what's happening is that you're anticipating based on this model that's in your brain. For example, you're not every time you look at a wall or your surroundings, if it's not moving, your brain's not processing it. It's telling you, I've already got this stored in memory, so we're just going to reuse it again and again and again until something changes, right? And so if you think about Music's all about rhythmic anticipation. I'm going to go one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. You expect that to happen. You start preparing for it. Your body starts moving. It's completely built into us as humans to be able to move together in time and anticipate how we can do that. It's how we, one of the really core ways of being human together. And so you put latency in that, you completely mess up that anticipation, but it doesn't mean you can't play music. It means you have kind of interesting other types of music and you can learn how to work around it. And that's what I've been sort of doing as research. It's super fun.
I love it. Yeah. I guess a lot of it would be kind of improv, I guess, in a way.
Yep. There's a lot of that. It works best with musicians who can improvise. So work with jazz or tabla players, flamenco, you know, people who are coming with this really strong ability to be able to work with surprises.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the cache that we have in our internet browser. Mm-hmm. Like that's our anticipation of not needing to see something, you know, millions of times. We know it's going to be there and we don't need to concentrate on it. Mm-hmm. So that's what our browsers are doing with the cache, right? Like they're they're holding on to it until it changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's amazing how much of a computer we really are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you worked with trying to limit that latency, or is there anything that can be done at this point? Is it just a matter of better technology over time, or is it just isn't going to change?
It needs a time travel machine.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Because nothing goes faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
And it takes time for light to get from one place to another. That's not getting any shorter. If it did, then you would have a time travel machine.
Yeah.
If we have time travel, I'm sorry, I'm going to the future because I want to see what the music's like.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that would be pretty awesome, actually.
Really amazing.
Where do you see this going in the future, the idea of connection and the latency aspect of creating music? And
I mean, right now it's very niche, even though we went through this pandemic where, you know, for a whole year, every musician around the world made a decision, I'm not going to play music with other people, or I'm going to figure out this internet thing and try and play music with people. Now, that second group, many of them were like, this thing doesn't work. I hate it. I'm not doing this anymore. And so the pandemic ended. People went back and started, you know, playing music just together in the way that they had before. Absolutely fine. However, there remained a group of people, a small group of people, you know, scattered around the world, and we tend to find each other, who were like, you know what, some interesting things came out of this. Some interesting artistic development is possible here, and it's worth pursuing. You know, there's a few reasons why, because obviously the big one is environmental. For every mile that you use a petrol car, is the same as 1 hour on a video call with two people. So if you cross town in like 10 miles, that's the same as a 10-hour video call with somebody. And like it's a big amount of carbon, because obviously
totally
the internet isn't carbon free. We use a lot of water as well. Let's not go there, because it's definitely big issues with our internet network technology. Nothing's carbon free here. But that's massive. So that's really important for a lot of young people as well, you know. So the other one is it's really great for accessibility. So, for example, today I had a chat. I have a regular chat with a friend of mine in New Zealand. He's a tetraplegic and a musician. So he invents his own music instruments that he can play with his limited motion. And he can send me his instrument over MIDI to where I am across the ocean, and we can play together, you know, and we can have an engagement. It's not possible for him to come to see me in Europe. It would be so expensive and, you know, a lot of work. So, you know, thank God there's the internet for him. You know, he gets to participate. He has remote concerts. He still plays with his friends. It's really special. So, you know, that's another reason as well. There's a couple of other really strong ones that I can't remember off the top of my head, but the other one, which is important, it's just pushing artistic boundaries. You know, what we love as humans is to seek new forms of expression. This is what we do, you know. We're adventurers. So we go out and we go into the desert, we go into the oceans, and we look for where something new is. And, you know, music and performance and being together on the internet is still very new for us as humans. And so I think that's also just another compelling reason. And so I'll just sort of end this thing with a where do I think it's going? Like, I believe that sometime in the near future, there's going to be a couple of like 15-year-olds who play music together. They've got a little band, like a 2-3-person band. And then their parents say, "Hey, I'm sorry, honey, but we're moving cities and we're going to the other side of the country." And then they're like, "Oh, but what about my band?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, you'll just find new friends to play with." No. They'll go to the other side of the country and they'll use music technology to keep playing together, and they're going to make a kick-ass new album, like hip-hop something, mash, jazz, I don't know what it is. It'll get on the top Billboard and it'll go super famous, and then everyone will go like, "Oh, I guess we can do this," and then it'll become normal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen.
I think that would be awesome. That would be absolutely fantastic.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
I think, you know, the pandemic kind of made Zoom in every home, right? Like, so just the idea of being isolated makes us innovate.
Yeah, because we seek to be together. It's such a huge, strong part of being human.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, there's so much to unpack there. But yeah, it's lovely that I would never have wished the pandemic on anyone.
No.
But some of the developments that have come out of it have been really groundbreaking. And and the way that you say, like, we seek closeness with other human beings, that whole Zoom explosion was because we just wanted to see each other's faces. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And Source Connect in its way is helping people to work with one another across countries and time zones and all of this. It's just allowing us to be closer as humans. I love that idea.
So, and sound good while we do it.
Yes. Isn't that the trick? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The broadband internet is starting to make that more and more acceptable and expected, which is really good. Yeah. So there's a lot to talk about as far as where it's going in the future. But I mean, it's definitely on a good trajectory. I love seeing that. And I love that Source Connect is a part of it, that Source Elements has really gotten involved in that. So thank you for that, because I know as a voice talent, for me to be able to do jobs from my home studio and not have to drive into a big city that'll take me 2 hours to get to, you know, that's groundbreaking for not just me, but a lot of talent, I imagine. And like you say, with the musicians, too, you know, it's much easier to experience the connection of making music together.
Yeah. And, you know, while musicians don't want to do a performance online, they're, you know, really using the internet to at least to rehearse, to get to know each other online beforehand, you know. So it's like, okay, hey, play me something on the violin. What's good for you? You know, we don't have to play together, but I can get to know you. And, you know, we've worked with some really amazing music projects over the years that have been about using the internet in this sort of sound and video technology is a way to enhance the live music experience.
Sure. Can you talk about one of those? I'd love to hear more details.
Oh, yeah, my favorite.
Yeah.
In 2012, so really early, two very onto it music teachers, one in Durban in South Africa and the other in Virginia State University. They had been having a like once a year, the students from Durban would go to Virginia, and then the other year, the students from Virginia would go to Durban. And so that, you know, they'd play together and they'd have make a jazz, you know, jazz band. And so Antonio and Neil call me and they're like, you know, this Source Connect, can we use this so that before we spend all this time and energy traveling and we only get a week together, why don't we get to know each other like the month beforehand? Hey, how does that guy play his trumpet? How does that guy, you know, what are his favorite riffs on the saxophone? So when they get to be together in that short time, they're not starting from scratch. They're already friends. And such a special, special project that I'll always carry with me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Were there any music projects that actually ended up with an output that was not just practicing together, but actually the performance?
Yes. So I did another beautiful project with the Red Cross in Greece and Athens and with Sweden. So the two cities, Sweden, Gothenburg and Sweden and Athens in Greece. And so the Red Cross had a choir in each location for refugees, and then decided, like, wouldn't it be amazing if they could sing together? Because the refugees can't leave the country, even though you can get into Europe and you've got the Schengen zone. They're just not legally. Once you've got refugee status in one European country, you can't change. You can't leave those borders. That's the rule, right? And so, you know, the refugee, the choir from Athens can't go to Gothenburg and sing together. And so we used Source Connect to work with a composer who made some work for them so they could sing together over the internet. We had a video screen on both sides and we sort of did a, you know, a mise-en-scene so that they really could look like they were sort of there together and merged together. And it was unbelievably beautiful, like singing folk songs. And, you know, you'd hear, you know, someone saying, like, I hear someone speaking my language and I hear them singing a song that I know from my childhood, and feeling connected and just feeling open and alive and, you know, with a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds beautiful. I love the idea of people being able to connect with each other that intimately mm-hmm. in music, because you know, and across distances, which I think is great. Yeah, as you say, there are rules for refugees, unfortunately. So, you know, or fortunately, I mean, it's great that they were able to make that connection, even though they were separated by many miles. That's, it's the beauty of human connection, I guess. Yeah. Where are you hoping to do more projects like that in the future? Is Source Connect
absolutely.
Specifically... Yeah.
Yeah, it's important to me. I'm always, you know, I'm working with something called the Hyper Organ Project, which mm-hmm. is connecting organs around the world, because it's another thing. You can't put an organ on a truck and, like, you know, take it to another location, and each organ has their own specific, you know, acoustic sound. And so what we're doing, we just had a rehearsal last night here in Amsterdam. We were connected to an organ in Los Angeles, New York and Melbourne, Australia. And you can hear that organ in your space and send it back. And then also some of these organs are MIDI configured. So you can have even someone playing the organ remotely and then sending the sound back to themselves. That's just pretty amazing. It's really cool.
Wow. Yeah. Are there any projects that you're working on now as well besides that?
I've been trying to write a book. It's been like 3 years now. I've got a draft. The big and long future of this. So I think about what happens when, you know, we get off this planet and we start colonizing asteroids, you know, Mars, you know, the asteroid belt, you know, maybe further out. The problem with that is that the ability to communicate in real time is lost, because to talk to Mars, it takes minimum 3 minutes latency there and back. And sometimes, because Mars's the orbit is elliptical, it can take up to 20 minutes. So if you're on Mars right now and I say, hey, Jody, how's it going? Waiting.
Yeah.
Six minutes at the least.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So, and then the sun is between you and Mars. You've got radio silence. There's nothing you could do about that, because we haven't yet figured out how to make light where you can meet light being with a black hole, but you know, we haven't figured that out yet.
Physics.
So I like to think about what can I start building in terms of technology so that in the future when we start moving further away from each other, that we can still play together, because I believe that, you know, playing in the sense of like, you know, children or playing music or performing or doing radio dramas or, you know, theater together, that's how we'll stay human. And if we stop doing that, we're going to become different species.
Oh, that is a good point.
So that's my way of keeping the universe at peace.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, I'm all into the sci-fi stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I love that. But yeah, that's definitely something to keep in mind, that we need to be able to still relate to each other as human beings, even if we're that spread apart.
Yeah.
And I do hope that we end up exploring a little more. That would be good.
Yeah. Big NASA nerd here. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's fantastic.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
I like to get a little philosophical here too, although I think we've kind of been quite philosophical this whole time. But I want to ask you why you think sound is important.
Sound is the first sense that evolved with humans that we know. It's the most ancient one. Sound is the last sense that goes to sleep. It's just a very profound part of us, part of our mind. And even in the deafness community, I have some deaf family, sound travels through vibration. So, you know, they have a concept of sound. So we all have it, you know, even those who don't have the ability to process, you know, auricular signals still experience sound through vibration. So, you know, you could go back to that. It's a very base part of who we are as human. If you think, you know, the theories of how speech evolved, started as song, you know, the theory being that when mothers put their babies down so they could work and they would sing to their babies, "I'm here, don't worry, darling, I'm not too far away, everything's good," to something that we do so naturally, right? You don't have to train anybody. You have to train a mother to sing to their child. It's so, you know, and so it's pre-language. And also sound tells us so much. You know, sound tells us what's around us, where danger is, what's coming, you know, how to look after yourself. It's such an important sense, and it's such a privilege to be a musician, to be able to harness sound, you know, to make narratives with it, to build new worlds with it, you know, or to use your voice to tell stories with it. What a privileged, beautiful thing it is that we get to do.
I could not agree more. And it's one of the reasons I have this podcast.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. So how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to do that?
I'm on LinkedIn. So Rebecca Wilson with the KH. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the speed skater. There's another Wilson, Rebecca Wilson. Can't skate. So don't get that confused. And always very, very happy to support art projects, creative projects, you know, any crazy experimental projects like, when NASA calls and says, "Hey, we want to do Source Connect to the space station." Oh, yeah, I think I could figure that out. Yeah, I'll definitely, you know, let's make that happen. So anything, it's students, education, teachers. You know, we work with a lot of teachers to, you know, help students doing remote rehearsals. You know, huge amount of education there as well. And so very, very happy to help where I can.
Thank you so much for your generosity in sharing this information. I love what you're doing, and Source Connect is fabulous. I love it. The four especially, I'm very impressed with. And I think you did a great job. Yeah.
We rebuilt it from scratch and put a lot of effort into making sure that it was made just for you. So.
Well, we all appreciate it. All the voice actors that are using this on a daily basis very much appreciate the effort. And I'm sure that it'll be helpful for musicians as well and anyone else who needs to communicate over distances.
We're working with a lot of musicians as well, similar.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here, Rebecca. I loved our discussion, and I look forward to seeing what you end up doing in the future.
Thanks, Jody. Pleasure to talk.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.